416, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Oh, what day is it? Oh, it's Wednesday. Oh, and it's a little bit after 4 o'clock, and that means one of my favorite times of the week, when I get to welcome to the program Emily Miller, Washington Times senior editor of the opinion pages. Hello, Emily.
Hello, Andy. Always good to talk to you.
Always good to have you on the program. All right, skewing the debates for Obama. I read your column on it. I found it. I found your editorial very enlightening. Bob Schieffer, though, quite frankly, you talk about all of the folks, the moderators in your piece. Bob Schieffer, I will have to say, was probably the best of them. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. I mean, he was the absentee moderator, I think was much preferred than the activist moderators. I mean, you went a good 10 minutes where I said someone needs to check Bob Schieffer has a pulse. He hasn't passed out somewhere. I mean, you never heard from him, and I think that's great. You know, it's the true meaning of moderators, just to moderate the debate, as opposed to the others who decided this was like their big moment in the spotlight and they were going to make the most of it.
Yeah. So I'm getting from this that he was the winner of the losers.
That's right. The bar was very low for Bob to slip under.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the other ones real quick here before we get into some other things. Candy Crowley, your overall thought on what she did?
She was the most abhorrent debate moderator.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that this very mysterious presidential debate commission, no one really knows how it works. It's done behind closed doors. It's done between the RNC, the DNC, and the two presidential campaigns over a period of years. I mean, they decided these debates and moderators a year ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So then they start making all these rules behind the scenes. And I think one of the major problems on both sides is, why are we doing it this way? Why can't it be a transparent process, you know? And why anything that's been done a long way for a long time in politics and in media is going to be skewed left.
Yeah.
Because the media has been run by the left. So,
yeah.
You know, I think the Republicans really need to reconsider going along with these games. But, I think, you know, of all the people, Candy Crowley is the worst because she disregarded the commission. The commission rules had said that in the town hall format, and for whatever reason they decided it was going to be a town hall format, no one knows. But in that format, they say that she, or the moderator, cannot ask follow-up questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Candy's like, well, I've got 70 million people, and I have an agenda here. And we saw how Jim Lehrer didn't jump in, and Mitt Romney just destroyed Obama in the first one.
Yeah.
So she comes out in the second one, and she's the activist moderator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's going to ask follow-up questions. Not only that, she's going to be the own fact-checker on the show, and she's going to correct whatever Obama wants in his favor, even saying that Obama claimed it was a Benghazi was a terrorist attack that first day in the Rose Garden.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely outrageous. And then, you know, the Media Research Center, which is a great, great organization, they looked at the questions that Crowley pitched because she has the power to pick what topics are brought up. And they looked at the topics and judged them whether they are pro-Republican or anti-Democrat or which way they skew, meaning because it's someone's strengths. Like you would do something on the economics, you would give it to Romney. If it's something on, you know, social issues, you give it to Obama because those are issues that they care about. Obviously, the gun one, for example, was right up Obama's alley.
Right.
Well, and they looked at this and they found that the 54% of the topics that Crowley picked for the people to ask were pro-Democratic or anti-Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only 27% in the other direction. And they've said, the Media Research Center says this has been the pattern since they've been following this since 1992, that moderators call on voters with a liberal agenda twice as often as those with a conservative one.
You know, it's really strange because not long ago, Frank Fahrenkopf sat in the studio opposite me and we talked about the Presidential Debate Commission. He is one of the co-founders of that commission and he is still on the board. He is still part of
the co-chairman. He's actually the co-chairman along with Mike McCurry. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So here's a guy who is, you know, of Republican background. We sat here, we talked about the venues. At that particular point, this was a couple of months back, the only thing they had released to the public or they were releasing that at that very moment, he sat in here and told me where the debates were going to be, but he would not give up the moderators until, you know, we found out about that a couple of weeks later. But you know, I when he left here, I had a pretty good impression of, hey, here's a guy that's got his act together. It's going to be fair. And then when I get the list of moderators, I'm thinking, what the heck was he doing, smoking crack? He's, you know, I mean.
I know. I mean, there's a lot of questions of whether Frank Sarenkopf is holding his own with Mike McCurry. And I, you know, I've only heard, as you said, nothing but positive things about him as a person and as, in his politics. And I tried to talk to him yesterday when I was reporting this story, and unfortunately he was on a plane all day to the West Coast, so I didn't get a chance to. But, you know, it really, it would help if this process was transparent. Like, why is it this? I mean, nobody even knows where their building is. Where do these people meet? Who pays for it?
Yeah.
You know, it's all a secret. And behind closed doors, these meetings happen. Who's in the meetings? Why are Frank Sarenkopf and Mike McCurry making decisions that impact this election without anyone seeing a transcript, having cameras in the room? It's just bizarre. And all of it benefits Obama. Like, the town hall format was done to benefit Obama. I mean, they need to rethink this. They need to get out of the Republicans do. And, you know, as I quoted in my story, I interviewed Dorrance Smith, who was the executive producer of ABC News This Week. He actually created the show and of Nightline. And then he worked in the Bush 41 White House as a media advisor. So he's a conservative in the TV world. And he says, you know, this happens every 4 years, that Republicans get all upset and say this whole thing is rigged. We got to do it differently next 4 years, and then nothing gets changed. And then we're using the same old, you know, dinosaur moderators, got the same steps, and everything is like 1950s all over again.
Yeah.
He said, you know, it's just time to modernize the whole system, modernize the sets, modernize the process, modernize the moderators, make it, you know, shake it up. And it's been, you know, the same old for so many years.
I think you even mentioned it sounded like Groundhog Day.
He did. He says it's wrong. I mean, he's been around. He's told me his first debate he attended was Ford in 76. So in California, so you know, he's really been through all these debates, you know, as a TV producer, and just says he just sort of like sighed and said, you know, it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah, no kidding.
So
anyway, all right. Well, listen, I'm going to move on to something else that you wrote about, and that's the NRA versus Bloomberg, and this is about the crazy mayor out of New York. He's always trying to step on gun rights people, and I guess he's going to do it in a big way. He's got like $15 million for his own super PAC.
And that's just to be spent in the next 2 weeks leading up to the election.
Whoa!
So, right. Now, this is a big, you're going to start seeing huge amounts of money being spent on both sides of this issue on gun control in the next couple of weeks, because these swing states are big hunting states. And Obama completely freaked out all gun owners the week before last in the debate at Hofstra, the Candy Crowley debate, and said that he wants an assault weapons ban, which is a lot of the rifles that these hunters use, and he wants possibly a ban on cheap handguns, which, goodness knows, he could set cheap at $5,000.
Yeah.
There's no saying what is cheap. So the NRA has this huge grassroots effort this year. They've been working on it since May. They've like field reps in all the swing states. They have like 5,000 volunteers. They've made up to, I think it's, you know, 10 million contacts. You know, they're really trying to get out the vote. They're really pushing. They're going to gun shows, and they have this huge effort to push to get out the vote.
Mm-hmm.
So Bloomberg, knowing that he's on the losing end of this issue right now, has just decided to throw all his money at it. So $15 million in a brand-new super PAC to come out in the next few weeks of ads. And he's not only just supporting those people who accept, you know, what he believes in more gun laws and more gun control, he's also targeting those who are pro-Second Amendment. So you'll see ads on both sides from him, as well as at all levels, from president down to congressman.
Yeah. He doesn't want anything to do with guns. And the fact that he can come up with $15 million in a hurry and jam it into the last 2 weeks of this campaign ought to tell you something. Ought to tell you something about him and the Obama administration. It's just scary.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be very hard for him to get his money's worth in the swing states with that stuff. I mean, I think he might have an effect on his, and I know he is running ads in Northeast, in congressional districts and the Senate districts in the Northeast, where there are a lot more gun control people and a lot fewer gun owners. And I think, you know, he will have an effect in there. But if you're looking at the swing states and you're looking at or the presidential race, I think he's just throwing good money after bad, because this is his, you know, personal agenda, and he just wants to eliminate guns from this country.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to let you run, and you have a good week. And is anything in particular you're working on right now, or is that a secret?
Oh, no, it's not a secret from you, Andy.
Oh, okay.
I'm working on a small editorial tomorrow is on how Obama came out, you know, with his new big plan, his new big agenda.
Oh, yeah.
And how it's just, you know, I read it. It's 20 pages. It's not that hard to read, and half of it was photos of him. it is, really. Every page is a huge photo of him and very little text. I mean, there's absolutely nothing new in there except for a new stimulus bill. He'd like to spend half as much as we spend on the awards. He'd like two awards he'd like to spend on bridges and tunnels and his windmills and stuff. I mean, it's really, it's just the worst plan. But he's out on a 48-hour barnstorm right now. He's apparently not sleeping and just sleeping on Air Force One. And, you know, it's just so tired and it's just so desperate. It's really just, you know, he's out of ideas and he's getting desperate and trying to come up with something. And, you know, I think we'll see, we've seen, you know, self in the RNC numbers today that early voting numbers and absentee ballots are all benefiting Republicans. I mean, they're up really high in the swing states, both those things. So
yeah.
I don't know if a 20-page brochure is going to change that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I look forward to seeing what you have to write. Thanks, Emily. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Andy. Have a good one.
You too. Emily Miller, Washington Times senior editor of the Opinion Pages. 428, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT.